Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Adam Cole, baby! We might not have got Sasha Banks, Mercedes Moné, and that is a terrible thing. But what a treat, what an absolute delight we experienced on last night's episode of AEW Dynamite. Not just one of arguably the best in-ring wrestling shows ever on TV, and I said that about 3 weeks ago too, but one with an all-time awesome, heartwarming return moment with Adam Cole. I'm Ollie Davis. I'm joined by Luke Owen, DAD. Welcome to the AEW Dynamite Review Podcast. If you haven't already, please press that subscribe button. Press the thumbs up button. We've now passed 70,000 subscribers. We're on the road to 75.
75/80. We haven't decided what my next target is yet, but I think 75 is a nice achievable number. I would like to see, actually, when we do our Royal Rumble randomizer, we get to 75 in that stream.
Oh, can you imagine?
Could you imagine indeed?
Every extra 1,000 subscribers, we have to do another Royal Rumble.
Do another Rumble.
And we'll be there for months.
It's not the worst idea, although YouTube caps things off at 12-hour stream, so we would have to stop eventually.
We'd start a new stream.
We'd just start a brand new stream, exactly, yeah. So with the Royal Rumble randomizer will be coming. Date TBC, we're just confirming things in the office here, but we will be doing a 10-hour Royal Rumble randomizer stream here on the Wrestle Podcast channel to celebrate hitting 70,000 subscribers. Thank you so much for all of you subscribed.
Leave your comments down below with what you thought of this episode of Dynamite and send them in so we read them out live to WrestleTalk.com/support. That's every single one over $5. We have our opening match. It's Hangman Page versus Jon Moxley. It's absolutely awesome. In my opinion, match of the night.
Ooh,
why do I have three different matches of the night?
I was going to say, yeah. I mean, it's for me, it's between that and the Danielson-Takeshita match.
Funnily enough, not the Elite Death Triangle ladder match.
Well, that's because it went 13 minutes.
But Tony Schiavone comes down to the ring. He says, "It brings me no pleasure to introduce my next guest." I'm like, all right, actually started writing MJF promo segment.
Because they'd
notes.
Announced at the start of the show, we'll hear from MJF.
And then,
Adam you know Cole's, it's all about the bone!
Adam Cole's booms hit and the place went nuts. He came out. I think we've all been really worried and we've not really been talking about where is Adam Cole, because it's that kind of mystery unease of, oh no, we might not come back.
There has been sort of an uneasiness for a while now. I think Meltzer's talked about this a lot on Wrestling Observer Radio, which is like, you know, it's a worry that we haven't heard anything. It's not even like we've heard a few things. We've heard nothing. AEW are very quiet about this. And he had two pretty bad concussions very close to each other. It was a kind of a scary time.
But I want everyone to remember, this is wrestling. It was obviously all a work. Because he's fine now. I'm being glib, of course. He had an awful time. He came out to the ring. He cut a promo. He said, he played into our fears perfectly, I thought. He said, "I've got good news and I've got bad news."
As soon as he said bad news, this crowd went, oh, this is it. This is a retirement promo.
This is Edge. This is Daniel Bryan.
Yep.
This is one of those. And then he It's a side of Adam Cole we've not seen, I guess. Because
certainly not in AEW.
Or not in NXT either. Like, when he's always been a tweener.
Yeah.
The last time I remember him as a proper babyface was when he was a bit naff in Ring of Honor.
Yeah, when he had no character.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, even in NXT, when he, like, was less of a heel and he did go into that more babyface, he wasn't this Adam Cole, yeah, which is just like, hey, I'm here for you guys. You guys give me everything. Like, this is a give and take sport. And you gave me everything while I was giving you nothing. Because he's been gone, you know, for the better part of all of 2022. And that was, he's like, I've got some good news, I've got some bad news. My concussions were, he never said concussions.
Head injuries
were bad. I had lots of dizzy spells. I couldn't be in a car for more than 15 minutes without nearly, or in some cases, actually vomiting.
Can you imagine?
There would be nights I would just wake up and I would just get out of bed and I would just start walking around because my heart is racing and my pulse is going and Britt's really worried about me because I don't know what's happening. But every single one of you, no matter what happened, always wished me well.
It was incredibly touching.
He was tearing up.
He was tearing up, and he's such a bad guy all the time. So to see that level of vulnerability was enormously affecting. I think the crowd were right there with us.
Yep. And all set up by, I have got some bad news.
Yeah, because it's this looming thing for that whole time with the good news, but the bad news. You're just setting us up. You're just saying thank you for all your support. And the bad news is you're going to walk off into the sunset. You can't do this anymore. Just awful, because we've been here so many times with our favorite wrestlers. And then he says, now the bad news. And he looks down. And as soon as he looked down, I thought, the bad news is for everybody else. And he said, it's for everybody else in that locker room. I burst into tears.
Yeah, same here, dude. I got really emotional during this.
Yeah.
Because his delivery of, I've got good news and I've got bad news, set me up to be like, oh no.
The whole time I was there,
like really like quite anxious about it. And then he was going on this huge emotional journey. Him getting really teary, because like you said, we haven't really seen this Adam Cole ever on a big platform like this. And he was getting so emotional about it.
It's kind of covering your face. Sorry, the trophy.
Yeah, it's because it's so big. Mm-hmm. Anyway,
going back to the emotionally devastating
the emotional devastating thing. So then when he did, like, now for the bad news, I still didn't pick up on it.
Really?
And then he looked down and I was like, oh no, here it comes. And he went, is for everyone else. And I was like, oh yes, it's brilliant. He worked me.
Somebody call an ambulance for you. You know, it was one of those. A really, really good promo, and just like, what a wonderful moment. We're two weeks into this new year for AEW, and last week's show was banging. They've got Adam Cole back on the roster. It really feels like this is where we should have been at last year, about 6-7 months ago.
Yeah.
It's so delightful. And he said, this is the new Adam Cole. I want everybody to remember this day because I'm back. And, you know, without overtly saying it, I'm a full-on blue-eyed babyface, and I'm going to go for MJF's title.
Yeah, we've really smegged up those Kenny Omega plans that we had. So I'm just going to turn babyface now, and I'm going to go after the belt.
There's no Bobby Fish in the company. I don't know what's going on with Kyle.
Yeah, where is the lie?
I am a babyface now.
Yeah, and one day I will be top of this mountain.
You think it's a Jeff Jarrett tease? You think we get an Adam Cole versus Jeff Jarrett?
That was the only thing that would have made this segment better, is at the end of it, he's like, I'll be the top of the man. When?
Call me a cynic. I did keep, even after the, I'm here, thank you all for your support, I was just still waiting for the, now it's time for me to get focus on me again. I hate all of you. Or for an angle to happen.
The ass boys to come out.
Yeah. But really good stuff. What do you think we'll see from a babyface Adam Cole?
Well, like,
babyface.
Babyface.
Damn it, why didn't I make that joke in my news?
I suppose you want to look at who are the heels that he can go up against. MJF is an obvious one, but I don't think you want to put Cole straight into an MJF program. If anything, because, like, it's, I think we're going into a real, like, Page vibes then when he was champion, because he had Danielson first, then Cole. So I almost feel like you want to delay that a little bit, put him into a feud that's got some emotion, some storyline heft behind it before you just throw him straight into a championship picture. Because, like, let's be honest, he's probably not going to be winning the belt this year. So do you want to, like, the first thing you do with him, just put him in a championship program that he's destinedly not going to win?
Definitely not. He needs some, not that this, he's not hot now because he's just come back, but he does need some win momentum, definitely. Yeah. Like a 3-month storyline, get that under his belt. Then he can start challenging for the title again, because he lost a hell of a lot when he won before he got injured.
Yeah, and I would also very much play up keeping him and Kenny apart, and actually for some cases Paige, like all three of them, just never have them interact, just being in very different stories, so you can build to that moment when their paths do eventually cross again. You can do some more of that elite Bullet Club style stuff.
Here's just one counter to that. Because you've got an opportunity. Hangman Page's current storyline, as usual, is a feud with himself and his own demons, and how he got a concussion. Oh no, now he's given John Moxley a concussion. Oh no, now he's booked against one of his former best friends who's just come back from a head injury. I don't want to fight you. I can't cause another accident like that.
Oh, that is
so
good.
So that could be good. They could be some quite interesting babyface clashes.
Yeah, it's certainly more emotionally charged than the, you know, when they feuded last year. Because they did feud over the title last year as well. And as like Paige was, it's a name that instantly jumped to me, but I kind of dismissed it as quickly as it came into my mind because, oh, we've just, it's weird to say we've just done that because it's been a year, but it was really the last thing that Cole did before he left. And I don't want to just bring him back and just immediately put him back into a same storyline, but you can do it with different characters now, so it does feel like it's a fresher feud than if they were, you just come back and I'm like, yeah, I'm Undisputed Elite Adam Cole again, baby.
Yeah, it's AW's quite light on the heel side,
very much so.
You've
actually
got MJF, and then you
the firm
got the firm. Christian's not around.
Jeff Jarrett,
Swerve. I'd love a Swerve Strickland Adam Cole feud.
I'd love that.
And Samoa Joe, I'd say, is the other one.
Yeah.
But I don't care to see Joe Cole. That feels very NXT.
In a way, so does Cole Swerve.
Yeah, but not as much. Yeah. I never felt like Swerve fully got settled in NXT.
That's true, yeah.
But overall, fantastic news. Really excited for him to be back. Just what a wonderful of a week. Of some pretty depressing wrestling news, this was a wonderful light moment.
It really was, yes. But he wasn't the only return slash debut. I mean, this was one that nobody expected. This wasn't being reported anywhere that Adam Cole was coming back at all. But there was a name that people thought was going to be on this show, and they were not.
Don Callis?
Callis was on the show.
He was on the show, was he?
Yeah.
Who could it be? I'm just trying to think of who AEW might have teased in the last couple of weeks. Maybe if they said something like boss, if they look right down the lens and went, boss, I'm the boss around here.
Wink.
I guess I could say maybe. Or if like Saraya, for instance, said a month and a bit ago, I've got two tickets, implying that it's definitely someone from outside the company.
Well, no, what she said was, because this storyline started with Britt Baker giving her two tickets to the event, and then she said on social media, I put those two tickets to good use. I'm presuming she gave them to Freddie Prinze Jr. and Ken Young.
It's Sasha Banks, Mercedes Moné, of course.
Yeah, so Mercedes Moné did not debut on this show as... which was exactly what was reported last week when Dave Meltzer said she is not in LA. She's not going to be the Mystery Tag Partner. It's why they announced Toni Storm on this week, because they were trying to shut down the speculation that Banks was going to, or Mercedes Moné was going to debut. They did it on the same day that she debuted in New Japan Pro Wrestling, specifically for that reason. It had gotten out of control. It had gotten out of hand, and they needed to shut this down. And I think there's a lot of criticism that can be leveled against AEW. In this, you started this with a mystery partner tease. So that's always going to set people's minds ablaze, because you have done this in the past. You then dropped that storyline like it was a bad habit for weeks and weeks and weeks on end, and then only brought it back up again just before you got to the event. And as you mentioned, there was a boss tease Well, like Britt Baker said,
it was a troll.
I'm the boss. Wink. She trolled the audience. Mm-hmm. Did you hear what happened live in the arena?
I did.
So live in the arena after the match had finished. We'll get into the match later on. It was, as advertised, Saraya and Toni Storm versus Hayter and Britt Baker.
Toni Storm didn't look happy about that, did she?
Well, I think she was expecting what was going to happen. It wasn't as heavily booed as I thought it was going to be, fairness. What happened afterwards was, though, because what happened after the match was, and this is a WWE production trick, which is that when a match finishes and you're showing things up on the screen, you dip down the in-arena lights so that everyone just focuses up on the screen instead. But they dip down the lights and everyone was like, oh, this is it. This is when Mercedes Moné comes out. And they instead throw up a graphic for Rampage, and it was a promo with Eddie Kingston and Ortiz, and the crowd went, boo! Because they thought they were getting a lights out, lights up reveal.
Yeah. So the crowd, whether we worked ourselves up into a frenzy or not, which I think we all did, I never really bought the idea. A few weeks ago, I was like, I don't see it happening. And then everyone else started to report that.
Well, there was a report last week.
We're very good on our three-word predictions. And I said she's going back to WWE.
You did.
And Naomi's going to AEW.
Yeah. And there was a report last week. Obviously, there was Meltzer said she's not in LA. But there was another one that said it's 100%. Yeah. Going to be Mercedes Moné as the tag partner on the show. And, you know, we even said it on this show. I certainly said it still could be her, but, and this could just be Meltzer being worked to kind of like quell expectations, but this is what they are advertising. Mm-hmm. So is it on us for being excited about something that was never advertised, or is it on the company for dropping in one line of dialogue in a promo? Like, there are people who are comparing it to CM Punk and being like, Darby Allin dropped Best in the World.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, Kenny Omega was wearing the Cookie Monster t-shirt and things like that. I think the two are very, very different, though, because that's not just lines of dialogue. CM Punk himself was also posting up things on Instagram that was a they booked out an entire arena in Chicago for this date, right? So,
but then, I get that. But then you've also got New Japan, very close AEW partner. We see New Japan talent just appear randomly, do cameo appearances in AEW.
I know what you're saying. What I'm talking more is about what the company are overtly doing to let you know that something is going to happen. They never advertised that CM Punk was going to be at the First Dance, but they were heavily implying that it is. You know, they called it the worst kept secret in professional wrestling. I don't know if this is the case, but I would probably put money on they were the ones that leaked it to the journalists that CM Punk was coming back. Like, that was part of the orchestrated plan here. I don't think it's fair to compare the CM Punk return to the teasers, and I'm doing Bucky O'Hare's teasers, that AEW did for Mercedes Moné, which was one wink and the word boss in one promo.
Yeah. But then you've also got the mystery opponent, tickets.
But that's a storyline thing.
Yeah, but then storylines, if you can see, oh no, my audience is misinterpreting the storyline, you've got to do a much better job of shutting that down. Granted, they just stopped talking about it. But that's not what they should have done. They should have just said, here's the opponent, and then build up that feud.
Yeah.
I do think, you know, we, of course, have some responsibility for getting excited in that way. But I think AEW are equally, if not more, to blame culpably.
I think it is a 50-50 split, really.
70-30.
I don't think it's 70-30. Because I don't think this was not, like, I don't think AEW, I think, if anything, last week were going out of their way to say that it is not Mercedes Moné.
It's too late by that literally point.
Well, that's the problem, isn't it? They left it too long. I don't think it was helped by Tony Khan doing the Grapsody interview where he wouldn't say who it was and almost was implying it was someone else. I wonder if it was going to be someone else and then the deal fell through.
That's what I feel like it was. Like a month or two ago, they were in talks and then it just broke down.
Yeah.
Like it sounds like it's in her name. Mercedes Moné has had a lot of discussions asking for a lot of money. And weirdly, New Japan are the only ones to have met it. Should we do a vote? This could be a good poll scenario. Who is AEW or the fans? Who is more to blame for this situation that's happened?
That's an interesting one. Mod Mother, if you can hear us. Who is to blame, AEW or the fans?
But write the marks. Don't write the fans.
Write the fans, please, Mod Mother. Thank you.
Well, before we get into your Ultra Chats, we have a sponsor for today's show.
I said we haven't actually mentioned that today's episode is sponsored. Should we hear from that sponsor?
Hey, I'm wrestling YouTube sensation Ollie Davis, and I've got a brand new series for you. It's Tables, Lists, and Chairs. That's right, it's not just the name of a WWE pay-per-view, now it's the name of WrestleTalk's new hit format. Me, Luke Owen, Laurie Blake will all be counting down the 10 biggest shock surprises that could happen at the WWE Royal Rumble, and the frivolity of it all. Please go over to WrestleTalk and subscribe, because that episode will be premiering later today. Jam that jam.
Oh, Tables, Lists, and Chairs.
What a lucrative sponsor to get here on the WrestleTalk podcast.
Big star, that guy.
I've heard his name before. Yeah. I think I follow him on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Do you mind if I just do something? You've got a little bit of lint on your cheek.
Oh.
I'm trying to get that
so
off.
Sorry.
I spotted it earlier, but I didn't want to, you were doing such a good job on the podcast. I didn't want to interrupt you.
That is Tables, Lists, and Chairs. It's me. It's Luke. It's Laurie. And we talk about the 10 most ridiculous things that WWE could do at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah. Filmed before the Vince McMahon return news.
When did we film this? Last Monday? Last Tuesday?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And
what's happened in the last week or so?
Spoilers, Mr. McMahon was an entry. That was before he forced himself back into the company. So let's see how that goes down.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
WrestleTalk.com/support. Please send in your chats there. We'll read out every single one over $5. Apologies if we've got a few unattributed chats here because there's some Streamlabs issues.
Yeah, we had some Streamlabs issues the other night as well. So it's a them problem rather than us problem, but we are working with them to try. We've raised tickets.
Scott Young, 2907. The best way you can describe the Mercedes AEW is if your girlfriend asks you round for Netflix and chill, and you get there, and you watch a film and have a pizza. Also, I'm so happy Cole is back. Haven't been this happy at a return since Edge Royal Rumble 2022.
I'd be quite happy if a girlfriend asked me around and we watched a movie and had some pizza. That sounds
yeah,
delightful. In my single days, I want to add.
Bacon Rasher. Hi, lads. I've not a mega chatted for a while. Due to budget cuts, had to on Adam Cole. 5 out of 5 show as he's back. My favorite and hero. What a man. Great show overall. Trios was awesome. Also, love Jungle Hook. P.S. Big Bill has a little will. I'm 38 years old. Puckhead, 1994. Tony Khan deserves all the criticism for his inaction on the Mercedes rumours. That being said, this was a legendary dynamite. Except that JAS promo.
Oh, yeah.
Always great hanging out on Thursday with babyface TNA Mark Luke Cohen and heel CM Punk Mark Ollie Davis.
It's the second time in two streams you've been called the heel.
I think it's probably by the same guy. Look, I am nothing if not consistent. Through the high times and the low times, I will always love CM Punk.
It's just like through the high times and the low times, I will always love 2005 to 2008 TNA.
Ironically, most of that was a low time.
It was all lows, really.
Michaela Trump. Thrilled to see Cole back. I think bringing him in as a face was 100% the right move. I agree.
Yeah.
I'd love to see him have a little program with Kip Sabian to build him up to the world title program. Sorry, I laughed there. I think you need a... That's one match on Rampage. You know, that's not... But Kip Sabian's a great wrestler. Also, more Sheeta stories, please. Love you guys.
Well, I think she's in quite a big one right now. She's terrible at throwing kendo sticks to people.
Matthew Robinson. Wow. I was at the forum last night and the best late present was having Adam Cole back. Wow, the place really popped when he showed up. Everyone was thinking Mercedes and no one thought someone might be returning. That's a nice...
Good
bit
little
of
misdirect.
Was at the forum and wow, the... Matthew Robinson continues, had every type of match and a surprise return. It really was amazing. Also, you guys should watch the Soho Willow Street Fight on Rampage. It was awesome.
I'd heard from people live in the building that it was, you know, not as, you know, probably not match of the night if you combine all things together, but really, really good.
Well, I thought the women's tag match was really good.
Awesome.
So it's good to, I feel like, I'll get onto this later, but AEW has been in such a Jade Cargill and her baddies mode. And the baddies really are, no offense,
bad?
Developmental.
Oh, right, sorry, yeah, yeah.
It's very AEW dark, whereas Soho, Britt Baker, Jamie Hayter, Saraya, Toni Storm, Sheeta, like those, that's the top of your women's division. I feel like they've been missing for ages. And Willow Nightingale, I think, is crept up in there too. Actolectry. Adam Cole's return was great. However, it was slightly ruined by the one asshat fan who kept yelling profanities and telling Adam to shut up and go away during the promo.
I did not hear that.
I didn't hear that either. That is so annoying.
Mm-hmm.
Love you, boys. Keep up the good work. Also, not sure how I feel about AEW doing concussion injury angles, given their history of real head injuries. Love you guys. Keep up the great work.
Yeah. I can sort of see the argument there.
I know. We'll get onto that more in the Hangman match. Why Guapamont, 19-month Mumba...
Mumberg.
My roommate was confused while I was yelling, Bay, lol. I was never on that hype train for Mercedes, so I wasn't harmed by it. This show, yowie wowie.
Couple of other here's Duo XM. Didn't get to view these live much. Glad I got to use today. I wasn't expecting Mercedes Moné, but I was expecting Luke Owen DAD to debut in a DAD versus DMD spot. She does know me, apparently. And unknown user says, Hayter and Baker were even wearing white and red gear, an obvious wink towards Monet's gear at Wrestle Kingdom. I think Baker just really loves trolling wrestling fans.
I think if you're going to do an obvious wink at Mercedes' Wrestle Kingdom debut, it's the most confusing hair of all time.
Oh, no. Someone explained what the hair was. It's the blue hair being burned away to her new color. So it's literally the new version of taking over. It's not just that it looks like the Firefox logo.
That's wonderful. But to look at visually, my eyes cannot find a point of purchase.
Neither can Photoshop.
Thank you for all of those chats. We'll get to the rest of them after our play-by-play review, which begins with John Moxley versus Hangman Page to open the show, a match that's been built up for 2 months, maybe longer.
Oh, well, no, 2 months, because he was knocked out about 2 months ago, right?
Right. This was excellent from the start.
So good.
And it was a match built around working the head as a body part.
It was built around lariats.
Yeah.
And both men hitting lariats real, real hard.
Shivani even called it a lariat battle, but they were doing, paradigm shifts, open palm strikes to the head. This was...
Headbutts.
The headbutts were amazing. Last week, John Moxley said, I'm going to give you another concussion, and this time I'm going to make sure you don't get up. And this match delivered on that concept.
It was so, so good. This match started off hot and like never really let up. Even during the commercial break spot, it didn't feel like it was... John Moxley didn't lock in a little rest hold or what have you. Because he was working as the heel in this match. You know, he was flipping off the crowd and everything when they were booing him for targeting Hangman's head. But this was like Hangman at his babyface best, coming back not only from the injury that he got in the Moxley match, but coming back in this match as well, well after being beaten down during the commercial break. And like when he got in Moxley's face, hitting the fall away slam, I popped so hard at the kick out at one. It was so, so great. And the crowd were electric for this.
That was off the back of a paradigm shift kick out, very near fall. And then I can't remember what Moxley hit.
It was the elbows and choke hold. Then he hit a pile driver.
That was it.
That was when he kicked out at one.
Great stuff. I've really missed Hangman wrestling. Watching him wrestle here, I'm like, oh, yes, this is good. But it's also an alignment with a really good character for Hangman, because I did feel as good as that match was building to be with Hangman and Moxley, the whole Moxley title reign, that was when AEW was, I would say, significantly off kilter following Brawl Out. So the Hangman Page motivation wasn't there, which is a huge part of my enjoyment of his matches. But here it was all aligned. They keep on going.
The Deadeye.
Yeah.
So they kind of wrestle over this spot, and eventually Page hits the Deadeye. Mox sort of like bounces up from it, comes off the ropes, stomps Page, and they both crumple down. It was like a Deadeye no-sell into a stomp. It was so cool.
But Moxley sold that like he was just using the ropes momentum.
Yeah.
Like he was knocked out. He was just all instinct. But a buckshot lariat, such a cool move.
Which was set up by a lariat in of itself. So Page hits this wicked lariat. Mox gets up all dazed from the lariat. Page immediately hits this wicked buckshot lariat on him. Gets the 1-2-3. Pointed out on Twitter, Mox's second pinfall loss clean in AEW.
Yeah, doesn't happen often.
The other one's Punk.
Wow.
All out. Mm. All the other times he's lost clean, lost in singles matches, there's been some form of interference or something. Mm-hmm. But he hits the lariat and he wins and he celebrates and he's outside the ring, and Doc Samson gets in the ring and the referee starts checking on Moxley. And the second that Page sees that, he's like, oh no.
Yeah.
I'm the bad guy again.
And it's that self-destructive, self-critical Hangman Page that we all know and love.
Oh, there he is.
I don't want him to be happy. As soon as he won the title, I was like, well, that's going to emotionally complete him. He got everything I wanted. I'm bored of you now. No, I want you to be self-destructed all the time, Hangman Page. It's such a compelling character.
Yeah, and this was a really compelling performance of a man who, I mean, this is what he wanted to do last week. This is what he said in his promo. That's why I thought last week's promo was so good. He didn't want revenge. It was never on his mind to get revenge on John Moxley for knocking him out, because getting knocked out is part of wrestling. But Mox's reaction to it made him want to get revenge. That's not within Hangman's character. And Hangman came out for revenge today. And the price that he has got to pay for that is now Moxley might be hurt.
But I would also argue Mox put him in that corner. Mox's final line last week was, I'm going to make sure you do not get up. I'm going to make sure, essentially saying, you will never see your child again.
That's the beauty, the complexity of the story. And I thought it was so a great performance by Paige as well, because this is where Paige shines when he has, you know, moral conflictions.
Mm. I said it in my review, Hangman, when he's looking at Moxley, he manages to communicate so many different emotions, chief of them being to me, oh, that guy has a kid too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was the only thing I could think of based on that awesome line he had a couple of weeks ago. Oh my God, he's going to wake. I just want him to remember his kid's name when he wakes up.
Yeah.
Really good stuff. I don't think this is the end of the feud.
Nope.
I hope John Moxley gets 4 weeks off.
Yeah.
And then comes back, sells the Revolution match. I'd love that.
Yeah, that'd be great.
It's a good, it's essentially a 3-part series.
Yeah.
Moxley won the first one via TKO.
Yep.
Hangman won this one. Albeit clean, but I think it works. And then
you can make the argument the only one clean because he knocked him out.
Mm-hmm. What stipulation does that build to?
A concussion on a pole match.
It's a, what's the one where you don't get up after 10?
Oh, a Texas death match. Or last man standing.
Yeah, that will make sense. Last man standing, yeah. But excellent stuff. For me, that was probably just 98%. That whole segment, it was damn near perfection.
Yeah.
Adam Cole promo was next. Brilliant. The Acclaimed are getting some stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Yeah, good for them.
That'll be fun. The Firm took on Hook and Jungle Boy, or Jungle Hook. Is that a?
It's probably, I don't know what the kids are probably saying it on Twitter or something. I mean, if AEW did attract a kid audience, which I don't think they do, they're all our age. Great reactions for Hook and Jungle Boy coming out here. Less so for The Firm, but Hook on, you know, in particular, got a great reaction. Jungle Boy, being a local boy, got an amazing reaction to this as well. I liked when Hook tagged in, immediately all the other commentators stopped talking because Taz wouldn't shut up about suplexes or like hip placement or something.
He's so proud. Such a proud dad. I do admire a match where you could probably switch out the opponents with a wardrobe and it would get the same pop.
Yeah.
Like Hook suplex in a wardrobe would get the same pop that he got suplex in Big Bill. It was really well built up.
Because when they did the showdown of Hook and Big Willie, it really was. The crowd were like, oh, yeah, that's what we want to see. And then Hook suplex, and the crowd went insane. Mm. The crowd enjoyed that spot so much, they basically missed the finish, which was Jungle Boy locking Moriarty in the snare trap for the win.
Big Bill sold that well as well. Yeah. You know, he rolled straight out. He didn't sell it as in, I am hurt. He was like, what? I've not been picked up like that before.
And then oddly, Taz at the end of that just went, well, that was easy.
Good stuff. Let's see where it goes. I presume a Hook versus Jungle Boy feud.
Yeah, I think we go Jungle Boy for the... that's what we just done with War Joe.
Yeah, but...
If it ain't broke.
It ain't broke. Then we had Paul Walter Hauser, is that his name?
If you say so.
He is one of the best actors. I can never remember the full name. I love him and everything he's in. He did a great Clint Eastwood movie a few years back. Really good actor.
Those will never get made ever again. Chris Warner Brothers, their new structure was just, they did a thing. It was like, apparently one of the stories that came out was like, why did we make this Clint Eastwood movie last year? It was never going to make any money. Well, because we've always made Clint Eastwood movies.
It's Clint Eastwood and we love cinema.
And he was like, yeah, we're not doing that anymore. Make me a Harry Potter. We haven't had one of those in 5 years.
Paul Walter was pretty much just there because he just won a Golden Globe. I've not seen it. It's called Queen Pim.
I've not seen it.
But Dan Housen and Orange Cassidy were there because Paul Walter Hauser, Dan Housen, and the best friends turned up and the actor said, oh, you guys are cool now. And Trent said, yes, but I don't think his body language agreed with him.
No, they're doing an angle on Rampage, so I know where this is.
Oh, I don't know the Rampage spoilers.
Yeah, oh, I do.
Well, I can bloody work it out now.
What?
Well, it's probably a heel term, right?
I'm not saying anything. I'm not saying a single thing.
I can read you.
No, I mean, well, can you? That's the question.
Bryan Danielson then was about to take on Takeshita, but MJF came out first and did a Don Rickles routine. It was amazing.
Him purposely getting Takeshita's name wrong was so good. Because, do you know why that also works? Because Disco was having a pop at Takeshita on Twitter in the week, being like, he can't speak English, so he'll never get over in this and the other. And I just think MJF, being one of the smartest men in the room, was like, oh, I'm totally going to be riffing on that when I cut a promo on him on Dynamite.
Well, on last week's episode, he referenced Disco Inferno. Exactly. It was great.
He's just scrolling Disco's timeline to see what stupid crap he's saying on Twitter. He's like, well, that'll be my promo for this week then.
I'm really struggling to get booed these days. Who's the most unlikable person on the planet? I'll model everything on him. I particularly popped for it because, of course, some people tried to accuse me of being racist for doing a contextually joke against WWE booking racist angles by doing a similar pronunciation.
Yeah.
So, yes. And
I thought this was great, though, because MJF like even said, you're a bad promo because you can't speak. Like, hey, round here, bud, we speak American. Mm-hmm. And Takeshita responded to him in Japanese. So Takeshita just grabs the microphone and just goes, kiss my ass.
Yeah.
Crowd goes nuts for it as well. And MJF selling him like,
well, that's it. It's like, I'm in no, if you watch this angle unfold in old WWE, most recent one, I guess, is Jinder Mahal and Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yep.
It's like, oh, I kind of feel like the company's making fun of
yeah.
Japanese people.
Yeah.
Whereas here, I'm so clear. No, this is the bad guy that we all hate, and the company agrees with me that this is a nasty thing to say, and they let the baby face have a good bit of comeuppance. MJF gets his receipt. He got it here, and then he got it later when Bryan Danielson chased him off.
It was so, so great. But MJF cut a promo saying, hey, people think I'm scared of an Iron Man match. I'm not scared to go an hour. If you don't believe me, ask your mother, ask your sister, ask your girlfriend.
Ask your skank girlfriend, I believe was the right line. It's so good.
Then starts taking a pop at the Hollywood stars at ringside. Ken Jeong was there. He was like, you're in The Hangover? That came out 20 years ago. What's the last thing you were in? Community. How's the new season going? Freddie Prinze Jr. And he's like, oh, he was in She's All That. I don't remember it. I was born in 1996. I'm not a dinosaur.
It was upstaged by a CGI dog, Scooby-Doo douchebag, I think. But yeah, Freddie Prinze Jr. was there going, ha, 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 he is right. But Ken Jeong was like, oh, you son of a bitch, I'm going to get you. I don't know which one I prefer.
That's because Freddie Prinze Jr. was thinking like, I'm going to sign him to my wrestling promotion. That's the kind of promo I need.
Just cut to Freddie Prinze's he's like in a monologue. I'm in the money. but it was MJF is just about to say, all your heroes suck, including Bryan Danielson. I'm better than you. And then Bryan Danielson's music hits. Danielson pegs it out of there.
Yeah.
And MJF runs away from it.
Legs it.
Really
mate.
Good.
Then we had Danielson versus Takeshita. In what I've written here, this is an excellent pro wrestling match.
You know what? For the first half of the match, I was like, this is good. It's not quite what I thought it would be, just because, you know, that the Hangman Page match, the John Moxley match, brilliant. There was another match, I can't remember, but then there seemed to be a bit of a botch when Danielson ran off the apron, hit the Hurricane Rana, and Takeshita sort of stumbled and he went straight into the barricade.
Well, there was also one, I thought it was the one in the ring you were talking about, where like it was people assuming the pile driver spot was a botch, which I don't think it was, because he then instantly transitioned it into this wheelbarrow German suplex.
Oh no, like I think spotless. Yeah, that was great. Yeah. This was slightly before.
Because like Danielson like flew like over and literally cracked his knee into the barricade itself. New barricades on the outside, if you don't know. You know, they just used to have like the steel barricades with like the sign on it. These were like bored barricades now.
Okay, I didn't catch that.
More of that production.
But off that, Takeshita hit this brainbuster outside immediately. And from that point on, and the match probably goes about 7 minutes after that, it was just incredible.
Awesome.
Crowd got so into it. Takeshita, Danielson's so good at making his opponents look great. He did this 2 weeks ago with Ethan Page. He kind of did it to Tony Nese in under a minute last week. He'll do it next week with Bandido
next week.
And it was that reverse package pile driver thing. Maintained waist control into a German suplex. Still had waist control. Takeshita kicks out of the knee. The crowd get on their feet. Oh, this is fantastic. Of course, Danielson ultimately won with the step is into a submission.
Yeah, absolutely. And MJF watching backstage. For me, this was... I think it is the Moxley Page match that was my match of the night, but this is a really close second. In like on a night of like all five matches absolutely delivering, this was just like on any other night would have been match of the night, but on this night it's like, you're a close second.
What do you do with Takeshita's losing streak? It's a very good losing streak.
It is. I mean, it is very good. But like, at the moment, I don't think it's being pushed as a losing streak. He loses to the top stars. So what Meltzer wrote in the Observer last week is that the plan is at the moment he loses to the top stars. But the plan eventually is for him to be one of those top stars. Like they have got, and I think that's why we've seen a lot of pictures this week. Callis is hanging out with Takeshita a lot. And I think once Callis gets a hold of you and like you're given to him as a Callis project, you're destined to be one of the best, like the biggest stars in this company. Yeah.
Really excited. When he gets that win.
I mean, I think he'll have a match with MJF. I think they'll do that as a Dynamite match in the lead up to Revolution.
I think he's got to... But you need to win. MJF, you can't go against MJF off the back of a losing streak.
No, it's like, that's just part of it. Like, of him losing to the big stars, you can do Takeshita MJF in the lead up to Revolution or even after Revolution and have him lose there, because you kind of set up something between them now in this segment.
Yeah.
So you don't want to see a match out between the two of them.
Yeah, I guess I just don't know why Max's character, who's so averse to having any kind of match, would have a match against someone who's, you know, hasn't qualified to.
Yeah,
to take
that's true. I mean, you could.
There's other ways you can do it though.
There are ways to do it. You can have some sort of Danielson involvement in there. Maybe it's another part of the stipulation.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Danielson afterward like pulled Takeshita up and raised his arms. They did the big sign of respect and stuff.
Mm, really good. Juice Robinson's backstage with Renee. He's going to have a match with Darby for the TNT title on Rampage. Juice is a good promo.
He is a good promo.
It feels like he's lost something in the last couple of years. Hopefully he gets it back. We had Tony Storm and Saraya versus Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter. Of course, none of those names are Sasha Banks nor Mercedes Moné. Tony comes out. And this is meant to be off the back of last week. Saraya's like, I think you're the best wrestler in the world. And she's like, oh my God, really? And that was the last time we saw this story. And now she comes out and she looks so like grumpy.
Yeah, I think she came out expecting to get booed because she's not Mercedes Moné. And she didn't really get booed. There were boos. I think there were probably more boos for Saraya coming out.
Yeah, yeah.
But also I think those boos just felt more amplified because Jamie Hayter was so over.
So over. It's a joy to watch.
Yeah.
And when Tony Storm and Hayter are in the ring together, it's so good. It's like the stardom stuff we used to watch in clip form a couple of years ago.
And so I think that's what Tony's... I don't know whether it was Tony expecting this and not quite getting in and not knowing how to deal with this, or... is she selling the story that Saraya picked her over Shida? I don't think it's that, but I think you could certainly imprint that onto what happened.
I feel like it was a bad performance.
Oh, well, yeah, that's also possible.
Not in the ring, but just sort of presentation-wise, I thought she conveyed the wrong emotions. And it felt like she portrayed her real emotions, which was not probably what you were supposed to do. This match, though, was really good. Britt and Jamie Hayter are awesome together.
So good. Although I've written at this one here, because this goes to the commercial break, I've written, their heels? Question mark?
Yeah, right.
Work over Storm? Because they did not feel like the heels in this match. They were working heel, but this crowd were chanting for Hayter. They were chanting for Baker. Booing Saraya, booing Storm. This was... It's one of the things where you're like, as a company, we may have to go somewhere else here.
Saraya should turn heel. She's not gotten off to a babyface start in the
I felt so bad for her when she did a move and screamed, "This is my house!" And the crowd responded resoundingly with, "Boo! You're not Jamie Hayter."
But Saraya did look good, I thought. She didn't wrestle a great deal. She was definitely tagging out. You know, she never had that long, elongated hot tag sequence.
Yeah. But, this is way better than the Baker match at the pay-per-view.
When she did wrestle, I thought she had a good snap to it, a good viciousness. But the finish was Shida comes out, don't know why. She slid a kendo stick bang in the middle.
Yeah, so to your point, obviously she was part of the segment last week. She has beef with Jamie Hayter. But they also said on commentary, the reason she's come out here is to neutralize Rebel.
Yeah, big threat.
Rebel's,
that is fair.
I mean, Rebel is always interfering stuff. She interfered in this match. So it was the right thing for her to do. But she did the Paul Heyman spot at Crown Jewel where he slid the belt in between Brock and Roman. Only it didn't quite come across that way. It's like it was a bad throw, particularly then because Britt Baker used it. She went, "Oh no, I didn't mean for you to get it."
Yeah.
I was like, "Well, I'd have just given it to Tony Storm then."
Baker used it, hit Tony Storm.
And then Jamie Hayter hit the Haterade for the win.
Yeah. And then Shida was like, oh no, all the time. So
not a great Shida performance, this.
Not a great tone. Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter.
Hey, big thumbs up all around for them.
But Saraya isn't connecting with the fans. Tony Storm looked unhappy and Shida, I don't know. Well, but hopefully whenever they... pull the trigger on whatever they're doing. This will fit into place.
The good news now is that everybody has got Jamie Hayter's entrance theme stuck in their heads. And that's what matters here.
Eddie Kingston had a promo backstage with Ortiz about the House of Black feud. He doesn't know if he's going to turn on him because of the House Black recruitment. JAS came out for a totally unnecessary promo.
There's 30 minutes left of this show. Your main event is a ladder match, the end of a best of seven series that you've been building since November. It's a ladder match for the Trios Championships. Why wouldn't you give that as much time as you possibly could to allow them to go out there and really pull something out of the bag? We did not need this segment here, because by the time this was over and the commercial break was over and the engines were done, there was less than 15 minutes to do the ladder match.
I said in my review, it felt like the first All In.
I've written the exact same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Strong All In vibes with this main event here, which was a six-man tag.
Six-man tag that had 30 minutes on the original card, but because I think it was Skirla Carter went over, they had to do everything in 15 minutes.
I think they went 8 minutes in the end, didn't they?
And this was just, it felt, I know Jericho's character is narcissistic, egotistical, but this felt like, this is only on here so you can talk about how you're on the PWG show at the weekend. They all had like, all of the JS matching jackets. They did a full-on routine coming down. They ripped off their trousers to reveal slightly tighter trousers underneath.
I think that was the gag.
Yeah, it was. It didn't really land. None of this landed. Even Ricky Starks, when he came out, his material wasn't great either.
No, I think the crowd were less into Andretti. Like, I think, you know, they did chant Jazz Hole at
them.
That
was fun.
Like, they got that. And Andretti eventually, like, the crowd more got into him, particularly because he insinuated that Tay Conti jerked him off last week. Mm-hmm. And
well, it gave him a low blow.
Yeah. And then Starks cut a promo on Hater, which was weird because it felt like he was challenging to a match.
Hater.
Well, I said Hater.
You said Hater.
Well, I mean, maybe he
Hater on the mind.
It's always on there. He challenged Hager to a match, but it was a match that had already been announced about a segment earlier. This was a big waste of time that was really needed for the main event.
Yeah. And the main event was excellent, but it's like I've seen six excellent matches, and I was thinking about, I think this is the least best of the seven.
It would have been better had it not been 15 minutes.
Yeah.
If this had been, if they'd given this like the full half hour end of the show, I think we could have seen something really good, because they would have been able to tell more of a story in the match. They could have played off some of the stuff that happened in previous matches. As it happens, because they had less than 15 minutes to actually do this full trios ladder match with the belts on the line, best of seven series, the final match of that, they just had to go at 100 miles an hour and just do spots. So it was,
did feel like that.
That's all it was. It was spot, 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 spot. One of them wins.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good, like really good. Like,
incredible.
Incredible. They were some of the best spots. The one winged angel off the ladder bridge was mad. Like the going through the Terminator dive through the table, and like Phoenix then going through the table. Phoenix going, everything in this was perfect, but it should have been better given all of the build we've got to get to this point.
Yeah. Unfortunately, this is one of those things, unlike the Mercedes Moné thing, where they really did build this up to not unmanageable. I think these six guys could have done it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was that they needed more time.
Bad
layout of the show, unfortunately.
Cut the JS promo.
Yeah.
You cut that JS promo, all of a sudden you've got the perfect half an hour spot you need to have this match. Because after entrances, you've got, 24 minutes left?
Yeah.
Maybe like less than that. That's the right amount of time you needed for this.
It felt like everyone was rushing.
Yeah.
Which is, I hate to criticize, because what a performance. What a series we've been grateful for.
But we didn't actually, the finish of the match saw Omega hit the one winged angel off a ladder bridge that had been set up. Pac goes up to hit the Black Arrow. Omega gets the knees up off of that. He climbs the ladder. He gets the belts and wins. The Elite are the new Trios Champions. Omega also came out with the US title as well.
Yeah.
They did say he beat Will Ospreay at Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah. Yeah, good.
Good.
Good. Overall, I gave this show really high. I think it was 94%, which does make it the fifth best Dynamite in my rating system when I've been keeping track.
And I completely agree with you, because this had no Jeff Jarrett on it. It was missing it, I know. So that would have tipped it into the easy 100% mark. I mean, it's a 5 out of 5 show.
Yeah.
3 out of 5 without Jeff, but you know, we can't, we get what we get.
You got him on, right? You got him twice last week. please Keep on sending in your Omega chats to WrestleTalk.com/support. We'll read out every single one of them. But right now, let's say a big thank you to our wonderful Pledge Hammers on Patreon.
Indeed. It's Wednesday yesterday. You know what that means. A brand new podcast dropped into the Patreon page. It was the Behind the Scenes podcast with me, myself, Oliver Davis, and Pete Quinnell chatting about the behind the scenes machinations of WrestleTalk. And also our review of Ring of Honor Final Battle from 2011 dropped into the RSS feed on Tuesday.
Oh, double upload.
Double upload. And next week it will be... After Dark next week, which will be a lot of fun. No lineup confirmed for that. And then after it will be myself and Ollie Davis reviewing Royal Rumble 2005.
Big show.
Big show. And if you are one of our...
Is he in it?
Oh, I would have thought he is.
Yeah.
Of course he is. Who could possibly eliminate him? If you're one of our $25 and above Patreon pledge hammers, you get your name read out on this show like these fine folk.
The easiest name to pronounce, Josh Razowskis.
The Voice of the Ring, Josh Roberts.
Breaking News, Justin Edelheat.
The Heir to the Throne, Kate Ayers.
Up Above and Keith Below.
Always Leave the Crowd Wanting, Brian Moore.
Le Meilleur au Monde, Links the Sun.
Pick Him Up, Loot Sponge.
Lord Chris Santo.
Too Hot to Handle, Lottie McClough.
Manipulating Manny Amaria.
And lastly for this Hall of Fame class, on January 12th, 2023, how do you like them apples? Marcel Jura.
Thank you very much for everyone's support there. We have the poll results. Who is to blame for Mercedes Moné, Sasha Banks anticipation? The fans... 63%.
AEW 36%.
You win again. The streak of you winning these polls.
No, I did say it was a more split because you said it was 70. It's more 70-30 than it is anything else.
Yeah, but I blamed it on AEW.
Oh, I see.
I am more wrong than you're giving me credit for here.
Oh, okay.
Samad Ali. Hello, Samad. Hey, gents, been a while. Great show last night. Not sure which was my match of the night, Mox versus Page or Brian versus Takeshita. I shrieked at Takeshita's pile driver on Brian. It looked brutal. Felt the main event lost match time because of the JS promo. Do you feel the same?
100%.
Hannah Allen. Well, F me. Fudge. This is the wrestling we need. I love you guys. AW needs a strongly worded letter, though. Rest of the card, really impressed. It was fantastic throughout. Well done, AEW. Brilliant. Lots of love. Jam at Jam. LIW444 Life. Unknown user. So I'm sorry, the Streamlabs does not give us your name. After the anger and sadness I felt about the WWE news this week, this show was the exact palate cleanser I needed to remind me just why I love wrestling. AEW has always put on some amazing work.
That they have.
Joe Nero West. I've noticed that since Regal has been gone from AEW, Brian has started winning matches using the Regal stretch, but commentary never acknowledges it. Also, Ollie referred to it as a submission move in his review. Am I thinking of the wrong move?
Now you're thinking of exactly the right move. I didn't actually put it together as the Regal stretch.
I think it was pointed out a few weeks ago, not by me, maybe by Pete or Tempest.
Definitely Tempest.
But yeah, definitely a loaded thing.
Yeah.
Charles Berg. Great matches yesterday. Love the finish of Mox versus Page. I enjoyed Adam Cole doing a Call the Ambulance, but not for me, Swerve. Danielson continues to be excellent. Ricky Starks is electric on the microphone and a killer main event. 94.3 out of 100.
Almost in line with your review. Just slightly more than yours.
When you've got 100 interval data points, you don't need 0.3s.
When you've got 5 stars, you don't need the 0.3s. Yeah. But Dave does it.
I'm just Marcus. This show was great. The ladder match delivered, if being a little short. Hangman and Mox had me on the edge of my seat. But best of all, Adam Cole returning had me grinning from ear to ear. And for me, a little emotional. So happy he's back and healthy. 5 out of 5.
Uh-huh.
I'm just Marcus continues. So I think Luke is right here. It's a 50-50 split as for who is responsible. AEW should have made it clearer. Not that the rumors spread if they knew they couldn't get her, but we should have tempered our expectations as wrestling fans.
Also, AEW did go out of their way to tell you last week that it is Tony Storm.
Gronlandwell Adrian. What a show. Muck's got his vacation. Hangman, he's win.
We don't know that for sure. He could be on Dynamite next week.
Danielson versus Takeshita was great. The tag team match was good. And the main event was spectacular. I literally forgot that Mercedes Moné was rumored for her debut. Juan Villa, member for 16 months. The power of 420 gave me a vision into the future. And I saw Adam Cole versus MJF. You heard it here, folks.
I don't know how you could come to that conclusion when Adam Cole in his promo said he's going to go for the world title.
We've got two unknown users here. Sorry, Streamlabs has not recorded your name. Hi, guys. Love the show and wanted the show support. Also, I was there at the live show. And man, what a show. 10 out of 10 for me. And hopefully I can make this a more consistent thing. My second live wrestling show. And damn, was it one to remember. Anyway, love the show. Personally, I think the main event was a great no DQ match, but a crap ladder match. I agree.
That's not enough ladder spots.
Not a crap ladder match, but not fulfilling the stipulation. Except for the last 30 seconds, neither team acted like they wanted to pull down the belt. Too many two-on-one moments with a ladder in the ring without someone trying to win.
See, that I would disagree with that. I even wrote this in my notes, actually. It felt like the start of the match was everybody rushing up to try and get the belts, but then realized that was not a tactic that was going to win them the match. So they went to trying to inflict as much damage on their opponents as possible before then going to try and win the match, because there's five other guys in the match that you're up against, two or three of which you're up against. So I would disagree with that.
Hot tag.
I fully understand what you guys say. This is from Matt Robinson. I would fully understand what you guys say when crowds get quiet, and what happened at the end of Rampage during the women's match. The crowd was so quiet. Wasn't sure if they wanted to hear the weapon shot, but it was very quiet. I yelled and cheered because I liked it. I'm glad they announced Toni Storm as the pun, since Mercedes didn't happen. They help even though the vibe was all over. I even made a sign just in case. Perhaps you can talk about a special partner when there are big female stars out there to be signed. Mm. You can't talk about a special partner, I suppose. Bacon Rasher, hey again, lads. Ollie, budget cuts is a fake reason, my friend. You know what we're going through in the UK with the cost of living.
Oh, he said not a fake reason.
Oh, not a fake reason. Also, I didn't mind Moné not being there. Cole was enough for me. And if you could have one of them, who would it be?
Just on your first point, I was making a joke. Yes. It was a WWE budget cuts was a fake reason. Yeah. I'm not belittling your struggles. Moné, Cole was enough. If you could have one of them, oh, definitely Adam Cole.
Adam Cole, 100%.
Adam Cole being back and healthy.
Small Afro said, I blame AEW for the Sasha thing. Teasing a mystery partner for weeks made people think it was going to be a surprise, and the tease of a Sheeta turn. It seemed like Tony would be taken out. If it wasn't intentional, it's ignorance to not know what the reaction would be. Even you guys were interested to see if she would show up last night. Mm. I think even having the thought that it could be Sasha, even after they said it wasn't, shows the problem with the storyline, not to mention the hints in the promos.
That's a good point. Like, Banks there or not, it's not been a good story.
Well, I think that's why they dropped it.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is, when people say like, oh, they would tease this for weeks on end. They teased it for 1 week, then didn't mention it for a month and a half because I think they realized what had happened and then were trying to, and then the only time they really mentioned it again was when they said it was Toni Storm, because they were trying to downplay expectations that it was going to be Mercedes Moné. They clearly didn't do it enough. That's the problem. Sir Gizzle said, why would Mercedes want to join the company with a lower mid-card women's division when Tony Khan still hasn't apologized to Swole? She walked out on WWE for less.
Yeah, I guess you could say that, but
that's harsh. Lower mid-card women's division is an incredibly harsh review of AEW's women's division. And I would argue an incredibly incorrect one.
But I suppose you could say they present it like a lower mid-card.
You can do, but that is not what they argued in this chat here. Mm-hmm. Unknown user, apologies, we don't have your name. Hey guys, loving the live streams, not joined as a member and Patreon. I really don't understand the hype about Mercedes Moné, Sasha Banks. She annoyed me too much with the constant walking away when she never got her own way. Keep up the good work, jam that jam.
Yeah, they took their ball and went home.
Yeah. Charles Berg, FYI.
We'll read that one last.
Yes, I will do. Congratulations to Mr. T of Two, who's a brand new member. Bubba 232 said, I just got an interview for post-uni work and was happy. So happy I decided to share the love.
Oh, thank you.
And Matt Robinson here says, I just wanted to say I love you guys. I'm wearing the Support WrestleTalk t-shirt. Made me proud, like I was an ambassador for WrestleTalk. Love the whole team. Wanted you guys to know how much you mean to me and a lot of wrestling fans around the world.
Oh, likewise. Right back at you.
Absolutely. Which brings us to, lastly, Charles Berg. FYI, I put the correct address on my package. Parcel 4 screwed up, not me. But for now, for one night only, I'd like to show you all of my package. You will most likely see my package going, oh, that's cute. I'll write the dog names in the comments.
I'm afraid I've got some good news and some bad news for you, Charles Berg. The good news is it's so amazing when you try and send us gifts at the office. Like, it means the world to us, and it shows us that it's not just us talking to a camera in a empty room.
Yeah.
It's us talking to people and making connections with you around the world, people who love wrestling just like us. What a beautiful, magnificent sport it is. But the bad news is... I can't. How do I now transition out of this? The bad news is, Parcel Force didn't screw up, but yet because Parcel Force were trying to sabotage it, but it's with us.
Get your package.
It's with us.
Hey, it's here, everyone. Are you able to open it?
I think so.
Well done.
Uh-oh. I'm going to do that side. Yeah, you work on that side.
I'll take off my belt.
It's well taped.
If it is what I think it is, as a cat person, I think you're really going to enjoy this.
Oh. It's a newspaper.
Newspapers.
Oh, American newspaper. Here it is. Two doggy 2023.
It's a dog calendar.
Got a note here as well. It's from Charles Berg's card there. Happy holidays, it says. Bones, belly rubs, and butt scratches. It's for his dog walking business. If you need a dog walker, go and ask Charles Berg. Oh, Look at these boys.
There are dogs here. There's four dogs in May.
What's your birthday month?
December. December. Yeah.
Who have I got for mine?
Oh, I actually got a really cute one.
That's
for
a
mine.
Good one. That's looks a cute like a one. Teddy bear. I've got two happy boys.
Those are two happy boys in March. Me mum's birthday. Oh, it's got one of those ones.
Pete's birthday.
Oh, that's, I mean, he's got all the dogs.
Thank you so much, Charles Berg. We'll put this up in our new office.
Yes.
When we move across the road. Hopefully in a couple of weeks. Have any more come in?
We'll have just a quick refresh of the page to see if we have got any more chats. In fact, we do. Manuel says the JS segment was booked to absorb the possible boos for not having Mercedes. I don't know if I agree with that. And it worked. Excellent episode where only two belts were seen. Plus the FTW one. Less belts are better. So Ollie is right. Again. Also, glad Lethal and Dutt weren't in Dynamite.
I missed Lethal and Dutt and Jarrett on this episode.
Finally everyone comes aboard. Everyone eventually succumbs to the Jarrett train.
But that's all we've got time for. Please go and subscribe here, but also go and subscribe to Wrestle Talk if you haven't already, because TLC will be that's Tables, Lists and Chairs, our new hit show, will be premiering this evening or later in the day if you're in America, or just In 3 hours is just the plan.
So say, get your phones out now, set a timer for 3 hours' time, and you'll be there ready to go.
Yeah.
Or you could just enable notifications.
And if you could, just share it around a lot and force everyone to watch it. Because I would like it to be successful.
We had a lot of fun making this.
Oh, it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. But yes, I've been Ollie Davis. That's been Luke Owen, DAD. Jam that jam.
Jam that jam, everyone.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.